Obviously, this is a new setup for us. We Hangouts on Air is dead, and we've now replaced it with this new chat site. It's for video conferencing, and it makes it really easy to broadcast video conferences on YouTube. It's called Jitsi, jitsi.org. And yeah, we're going to be using that this week and probably for the next few weeks at least, maybe forever. We'll see how it goes. Let us know what you think about it. Be sure to comment on YouTube or just send us feedback and let us know how it goes for audio quality and video quality and just everything. So that's that little piece of business out of the way. I guess the next thing is I'm back. And so it feels good to be back, although I guess you have to forgive me because I will be out of the loop on like most of the things that we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks because I pretty much turned off. I didn't check Feedly. I didn't check Twitter. I didn't check anything really over the last few weeks. So there's lots of things I don't know about. I'm excited for you and our audience and everyone to educate me on things. How are you doing?
Good. It's the dog days of summer. We're well into the dog days and it's starting to feel like it news-wise too. We're starting to pick up in terms of what you just published yesterday of the Galaxy Note 10 event yesterday. So shall we jump right in?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's talk about Pixel 4, which is, I guess, probably what most people come here for. To talk about Pixel stuff and Pixel rumors and Pixel news. And this week we were, lucky enough to be the source of the biggest Pixel story of the week. And in this case, it was pretty much the full spec sheet of the Pixel 4. So I guess for a little bit of a roundup for those that are out of the loop, which I really don't blame you because I am too. And I was actually realizing that yesterday as I was writing this post, I was like, wait, maybe all this was already leaked. And I don't know because I was offline for a few weeks.
Nah, it's,
I was surprised that it wasn't, that it hasn't leaked yet.
It hasn't leaked in that so far, not to be biased or anything, but I think we are the most trustworthy source so far to report, to definitely put our name behind these specs.
Yeah. Yeah, for some of these things, they were already known, like, or I guess, quote unquote, known because, you know,
they're known every year.
Everyone has access to CAD renders early. So some of these things like screen sizes were estimated or assumed based on those things. And there's also plenty of things like as you mentioned, every year, there's plenty of things that can just be pretty easily guessed. But yeah, long story short, I managed to get my hands on what I'm pretty confident is a spec sheet straight from the source. The Mountain View company called Google. I don't know if you've heard of them. But yeah, so we were able to confirm a lot of details that were either assumed or known, and some new things too. I guess we can start with the screens, which there's going to be a Pixel 4 and a Pixel 4 XL. The Pixel 4 XL will be the larger of the two. I can say everything I'm going to say here, I'm going to say very confidently. I can say probably with close to 100% certainty that this is going to be the case based on what my source shared with me. The smaller Pixel 4 will be 5.7 inches and the larger will be 6.3 inches, which is not all that different from last year, right?
Nope. It'll be fundamentally a similar experience.
Yeah, and the same thing too with the quality of the displays. Last year with the Pixel 3, the smaller was the full HD and the larger was quad HD. And it looks like that's going to be the case again this year, which is a great news for the smaller Pixel's battery life, probably. that's a whole other conversation. Battery life on the Pixel 3 has been fun.
It's been fine. I'm going to say that it's been fine in my day-to-day usage.
I totally agree with you, but that's not what the consensus is on Twitter. Twitter tells me otherwise, Abner. Anyways, so that's the basics of the screens, 5.7 and 6.3. Also, this is one of the more significant new details that we shared. They will be 90 hertz displays, or I guess able to run at 90 hertz refresh rate. It'll be interesting to see what they do there because OnePlus 7 Pro, as many people know, also launched with a 90 hertz display. And On the OnePlus 7 Pro, OnePlus offers it as an option. So you can either have it on or off. And it does drain the battery a little bit. So there's a lot of conversation about battery life and how that's going to be going to look with these new devices. Thoughts on that?
So I guess my big question about this 90 hertz display, it's definitely a premium feature in the Android ecosystem, but I really want to know what it's serving, what the purpose it's serving. What is Google's story for this smooth display? Is it going to be in the service of the camera and in the service of taking good videos and having them play back well? Or is this like a general increase to the usability, to the general day-to-day usability and the interface?
Yeah, I think this is both, but I think it's kind of inevitability. This feels kind of to me like the advent of what Apple called Retina displays, which was just higher resolution displays. I think this is just going to be the next step in display technology. I think higher refresh rate displays. What I think Apple calls it ProMotion, right?
ProMotion on the iPad.
It's not on the iPhones. It doesn't seem like it's coming to the iPhones this year either. But anyways, I just think this is inevitability. I think that higher refresh rate displays are going to be coming in the next few years. And by 2021, it's just going to be we won't even call them high refresh rate displays because they'll just be displays. Mm. And I think that's evidenced by my experience. You can actually see my iPad Pro box in the background. I have a lot of experience using the iPad Pro now at this point, and I honestly feel it feels jarring after you use it to go back to a display that's not 120 hertz.
In what use cases? Because I know
everything.
You have
everything.
The Apple Pencil, and it's great for creativity.
For
purposes.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the Apple Pencil is the most obvious place, but also just scrolling through apps is just. I mean, it feels it's night and day. If it feels so much more responsive, like you can just. I mean, it feels like you're moving a piece of paper around. And I felt the same way about the OnePlus 7 Pro when I got a chance to use that device too. So I'm excited to see that I just like to pick little things about phones that I kind of obsess over. Vibration motors is one of them, obviously, for those who have been following me for a long time. Higher refresh rate displays has been one of those little things that most people don't care about or don't think about that I really, really care about. And I mean, for me, whenever I saw the spec sheet, I was really excited. Anyways, I did want to answer one question someone dropped in the chat, and feel free to drop questions throughout this stream. One person said, you said on Twitter that you can personally confirm that it didn't intentionally coincide with the Note 10 announcement. Can you elaborate? I will elaborate a little bit. Obviously, we dropped this story right at the end of the Note 10 event, and a lot of people on Reddit and Twitter and elsewhere were all saying, there's no way this wasn't, this had to have been intentional on Google's part. Google definitely dropped this leak. Google sent this information to Steven or something right at the end of the Note 10 event or maybe I had an embargo or something. I was only allowed to publish this after the Note 10 event or whatever. It's all just not true. This was purely a coincidence. I know the source that provided me this information, and I can say with pretty near confidence that they're not a shill for Google PR trying to feed news about the Pixel 4 right at the time of the Note 10 event to try and damper Samsung's event. It's just not the case here. And I'm not doubting that that happens in many other cases. And I'm actually personally aware of cases in which things like that have happened. I can't say I've partaken in that kind of scheme. I don't know is that too harsh to call it a scheme?
Is it too nefarious?
I don't know, maybe it is. But yeah, so that in this case it just wasn't the case. Anyways, it was just timing and fun timing. I had access to this information, and I just figured it would be kind of funny to drop it at that time.
Yeah.
Because I knew that people were going to get or think that and say that. Although I will say, I bet Google is pretty happy about this. I would assume that this dropped and PR, given their attitude about leaks, has been pretty lax, to say the least. Going out and confirming things themselves, I would guess that there was a little bit of high-fiving going on at in Google PR.
Pixel PR specifically.
Yeah, right. Pixel PR. And maybe someone can tell me otherwise, but that's what I would assume, because this did seem to put a little bit of, I saw a lot of commentary saying, I was going to get a Note 10, but now that I know the Pixel 4 is going to have 6 gigs of RAM and it's going to have these new displays, which one of the hilarious things about this is they're probably going to be Samsung displays.
Yeah.
So anyways, enough inside baseball. Let's keep on with the specs. Speaking of battery life, kind of going back to the battery life conversation, Google Pixel 4, the smaller one, will have a 2800 milliamp hour battery, while the larger model will have a 3700 milliamp hour battery, which means we're actually getting a downgrade from last year, a little bit of a downgrade, down from 2915 to 2800, and then an upgrade on the larger model up from 3430 to 3700. So it should mean the larger of the two pixels will definitely be the one to get if you're in, if you're looking for lasting battery life. But I don't know. My whole take on the battery life situation, I think that in tech, in our tech bubbles, we see a lot of tech fanatics who are using their phones obsessively. I mean, everyone uses their phone obsessively in 2019, but I think we see a lot more negative feedback about battery life on phones than the average person feels. And that's just that's my feeling on it. And I think that that's probably true about most things about phones. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't had problems with battery life on my Pixel 3 XL.
Because it also goes hand in hand with everybody literally having a battery as an extra battery pack these days. It's people know how to get around their battery anxiety issues. So it's compared to before, but there was definitely a time period where batteries were still a sizable issue on phones. And I think now it's lessened by the availability of battery packs everywhere.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, most people commute too, right? So if you're commuting, you have an opportunity to plug your phone in for 30 minutes to an hour in your car every day. I think that's a big one. Almost everyone that I know plugs their phones into their cars. And that's an hour of juice on a modern phone will bring you from 30 to 80%. And that's definitely the case with the Pixels too. I mean, I guess I understand people who want to just live off of one charge all day long, but I don't know if that's as crucial as some technology journalists want to make it out. Although I will say that's the benchmark. The benchmark is, will it make it to the charger at the end of the day? And I've always said this about, and when I've reviewed phones, I don't care if it lasts 3 days. I don't care, you know, if it lasts 16 hours instead of 20 hours. As long as it makes it from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, in the midst of my normal life, which is I have a chance to plug it in at work, I have a chance to plug it into my car, I have a chance, you know, I plug it in every once in a while. You know, given the normal rhythms of life for me, doesn't make it through my day. And honestly, I haven't had a phone that I can say the answer is no to in ever, maybe ever. I don't think I've ever had a phone where I've genuinely felt really frustrated with how long the battery lasts. Do you?
No, it makes sense. It's always the timing works, the opportunities to the ease of use, USB-C especially.
Yeah. And there's also many use cases. I mean, some people use their phones for, you know, videography. And if you're using your phone for videography, it can be really frustrating for you specifically if that phone doesn't last a decent amount of time while you're recording 1080p video. But that's, you know, that's a unique use case. And those people find ways to work around those things, like you mentioned, battery packs and things like that. So, I'm not too worried. I don't have many concerns or complaints about battery life on the Pixel 4 or Pixel 3 or any phone I use for that matter. And I'm not really worried about it for Pixel 4 either. Anyways, more specs. Both devices will have the Snapdragon 855. I'm not sure if it will be the 855 Plus, but the spec sheet I saw said 855. Well, so in lieu of that information being missing, I'm going to say it's not going to have the 855 Plus. One thing people will be really happy about is that both devices will have 6 gigs of RAM. That was in my headline. And that's very welcome, given the frustrations that people will have had this year with the Pixel 3. And the devices will be at the same storage tier, 64 gig and 128 gig, as last year, which on that, I don't really have a complaint. I can't think of a single complaint about this spec sheet for me. What about you? Do you have any concerns?
No, I don't. I really don't. What's exciting to me at this point is not pure hardware. It's what Google decides to do with the software, as specifically the camera and whatever they decide to do with the assistant. It changes. When I personally think phone hardware has gotten to a point where it's good enough, and it's been that for a long while, all the differentiation that matters is on software, and Google is the best position to do that right now.
Yeah, speaking of software, so I had a little bit of details, a few details on the software for the Pixel 4 in this spec sheet. I mean, one of the things I saw for sure is it will indeed be face unlock only. So if you were holding out hope that this thing was going to have some kind of in-display pixel imprint sensor of some kind, I don't think that's happening. And I don't think it's happening. I would say I don't think it's happening ever. We saw rumors this week that Ming-Chi Kuo, who is a really, really renowned analyst on the Apple side of things, is predicting that the 2021 iPhones will bring back Touch ID, I guess, in the form of an in-display fingerprint sensor. And I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think we're going to see it happen on the Pixel 4 either. I think that these face unlock systems are going to become so secure and so fast and so convenient that it just doesn't make sense. And the only argument I hear that holds any weight, which is still not much, is just the speed of being able to unlock while it's still in your pocket when you're pulling your phone up to your face.
Yeah.
That's the only argument, and I don't think that argument is worth the security trade-offs. I think it's a very niche use case that is that only enthusiasts care about, and it's only specific kinds of enthusiasts care about. And I just think these IR-based face unlock systems, especially in the case of the Pixel 4,
which has made special affordances to use solely and just sensing when it's your taking the phone out to unlock. So I think Google last week made a deal about emphasizing how it's being smarter with its face unlock system. And of course, we have to wait to see how accurate all this stuff around unlocking a phone is. But I think Google has the potential to solve legitimate problems here.
Yeah, so one trend, I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, and I'm so glad after thinking about this for a month that I get to talk about this. One trend I've been seeing, or we've seen with Google over the last few years, as they've finally started to pursue their own hardware and try to build consumer-friendly hardware that's competing with the likes of Amazon and the Echo and Apple and the iPhone, and really, really taking hardware seriously. It really excites me every time I see Google do something that Amazon or Apple is doing in software or hardware, and do it markedly better. And this is, I think, this face recognition tech in the Pixel 4 that takes advantage of Soli might be one of these opportunities where I would be of the opinion that Apple was the first to do face-based security correctly with the iPhone 10 a couple years ago. You know, and that was following years of, you know, Samsung trying iris stuff and, you know, all these other, you know, even Smart Unlock on Android phones have been able to do camera-based, like, face recognition, which got removed from Android fairly recently because it's awful and no one should ever use it and it could be fooled with a piece of paper, basically. But anyways, I'm really excited to see how this solely-based face-based or facial security feature ends up working, because I think it's one of those cases where Apple did something right first, but I think Google is going to do it right better this time. We'll see, but that's what it seems like it's going to be the case, and I'm excited for that. It's really cool.
So the interesting thing with Soli is historically Google's hardware has Google's hardware products have heavily relied on the software experience to do advanced features. They're not a hardware company in the way that Apple is very closely integrated, and the A line of chips have these very high accurate co-processors to run like sensor data. Google historically has just relied on the software prowess, as best emphasized with the camera. At this generation of the Pixel 4, where we have an exception. We have Google having a first to market technology here in with a Siri and radar. So it's interesting whether Google's R&D labs are going to keep on this trend of having of doing unique technology, unique hardware.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that Google has ATAP and Regina Dugan and however, you know, other ATAP people to thank for that in this case, because it's kind of a one-off. It's, I don't see any other major hardware innovations that have been in the skunk works at Google that are super exciting for future first party hardware products. I don't know of any. I mean, Jacquard would be the closest thing, but I don't see that being something that will be integrated into a Pixel phone, obviously. but that's, I mean, it's another example of a hardware, I guess you could call it hardware innovation. That could potentially improve consumer products. But yeah, I mean, on Soli, I agree. It's really cool because Google is finally building something that's entirely unique, and it looks like it's not just going to be a gimmick.
Yeah,
because they're not throwing this chip in there and being like, look what this. I hope that they don't market it this way. I hope they don't market it as it's powered by Soli and it has all these Soli things. I think it would be really cool if they market it as it, you know, it can do these new things, and it just so happens that we added this new. Like, I don't think that Google needs to focus on the fact that they did this hardware innovation. I think that it's just going to be. I think that we're going to see Soli just sneakily improve things. Face-based recognition, I think, is going to be the key one. Where, and I would say the same thing about Google Home, and I wrote an opinion piece about this week. Where I think Soli is just going to sneak its way into Google Home, and it's going to be, it's going to make one way of interacting with Google Home just way better, just automatically. Like you can already change tracks and control your Google Home by touching the top of the device, but being able to just swipe left and right in the air in front of the Google Home, for example, is just, you know, I don't think they need to focus on Soli as much as they can focus on we're making unique hardware advancements, and they're actually bringing about better consumer experiences, user experiences. It's not a gimmick, and that's exciting to see.
You know, like Soli will be a success if it makes a face unlock great. There is so much potential for Soli to do other things, to open up the developer ecosystem around it. But for Google, a success for this many years of work on Soli would be actually greatly improving the Pixel phone face match.
Right. I like how they're going to call it motion sense, because that gets across, you know, the idea that it's a functionality and a feature. But it's not like adding a bullet to a spec sheet. You know what I'm saying? Like, so often we see in the Android space, you know, Samsung builds a phone and they have iris scanner on the spec sheet. It's just like, you know, and
I wouldn't put it above Google, not to mention it in the spec sheet in a similar way.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. Anyways, that's Soli stuff, and yeah, it looks like. Looks like that's gonna be a centerpiece for Google differentiating the Pixel 4. What are you gonna say?
And then there's the camera. You got some hard specs on the camera.
Indeed. So I don't know. Interestingly enough, the spec sheet that I saw was lacking details on the front shooter, but I'm pretty sure, based on the spec sheet I saw, the rear shooter, the rear shooters, I should say, there are two sensors on the back. One is a 12 megapixel sensor with phase detect autofocus, and the other is a 16 megapixel telephoto lens. So this goes back to you. Was it you and Kyle? I was off at this point. Kyle alone?
With the leaked version and maybe other publications.
Did you guys talk about that on the show while I was gone?
I think it was still there, actually. It was the first week of July. We didn't have a podcast.
That's
July
right.
4th.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, the Google Camera 6.3, this leaked APK that we had a good month early, revealed a 16 megapixel telephoto, which our yesterday's spec sheet confirmed as being, one, it's a telephoto, and two, 16 megapixels.
Yeah,
and
so
some people wanted wide. That's the nail in the coffin there on it not being wide.
Yeah. I mean, there were a few options. Super zoom, wide, telephoto, pretty much. And I was on team telephoto.
Yes, agree. But it has to be more than 2x zoom, in my humble opinion. Telephoto. Okay, the word telephoto in the context of smartphones has been 2x zoom, which is
right.
It's something, but it's not significant. And
right.
Again, it's all a hardware limit of how much you can stick onto the back of a phone. But maybe Google's got something interesting to decide and go with telephoto.
Yeah, so we talked about this on the show, I think, right before I went on leave for a little bit, which was, it would be really cool to see. I was speculating that it would be telephoto, I think, at the time. And I was saying it would be really cool to see Google double down on this super res zoom feature that they announced last year. So last year, obviously, the Pixel 3 only has one sensor on the back. Hashtag you only need one, am I right? But anyways, they introduced this feature called super res zoom, which uses software algorithms to artificially create a telephoto-like experience, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'll be interested to see if they continue or how they mesh the two, a physical telephoto lens with this software-based super res zoom. It'll be really cool to see if we get 3x, 4x zoom that looks as good as, you know, the 2x telephoto hardware zoom does. So,
yeah,
that's going to be really interesting to see, and I'm excited for that. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the rest of the specs. Well, I guess I can. I do need to address this one thing. So I wrote in the piece that Google might be developing this DSLR, like I guess moment lens, like attachment for the Pixel. I didn't issue a correction for the post yet because I feel like I hedged it and kind of just left it open ended enough to say this was just hearsay, and I wasn't able to really interpret what I was hearing. I did hear a little bit more on what this is, and what it is not what I wrote. this source reached out to me and said, yeah, I was not talking about a physical hardware attachment. I was talking about DSLR software features for the camera app. And I can't explain how that was misconstrued, but it ended up getting misconstrued. And so we don't really know what that is, but we can probably assume that just means there's going to be pro-level yeah. camera features being added to the camera app that will presumably be Pixel 4 exclusive.
So pro cameras features can be interpreted in a handful of ways. I don't think it's this, but do you see Google opening up manual controls in the Google Camera app? I don't.
If they did, it would be a separate app, I believe. I would argue. Another reason I think it's okay that I left my piece with this idea that Google might be doing this DSLR attachment. I think that it's pretty impossible that Google has not at least experimented with something like that.
Yeah.
And that ties in with what I'm saying about this DSLR stuff. I think it would be interesting and really cool to see Google do kind of like a pro level camera experience with the Pixel 4, where it's kind of a separate experience from the point and shoot camera.
What most people expect.
Right. I think it would be really cool to do a combination of things, maybe a manual, full-featured, full-fledged camera experience on the software side. I guess you could call it DSLR-like, which I don't know. And yeah. Also do maybe partner with Moment or maybe do their own some kind of hardware attachment. I think that would just be a really cool thing to see with the Pixels in the future, especially since that's the reputation they've built the phones on. And then that would be a unique offering in the market, I think. You know, is that, does that make any business sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it would be cool.
And this is the company that made Google Quips. I have to always emphasize that this company released a $249 camera that isn't even a GoPro.
Standalone camera that you can't manually take pictures with.
Yeah.
It's,
oh well.
That thing was cool. Nice. That thing was cool, and they learned a lot from it. And so it's kind of like, you know,
yeah,
that's how Google rolls. They just try things, and then
yeah,
they just take it.
If it's not manual level controls, what do we think DSLR like features?
No, I mean, manual level controls are pretty much the only thing I can imagine for me personally. And it wouldn't be super surprising to see them add that, but I really wish they would stop adding things to the camera app because as we saw with the Pixel 3, the camera app is suffering performance problems, and I've preached about this so many times on this show, but one of the most refreshing things about the first Pixel was how performant the camera app was, and that has kind of slipped a little bit. And it would be nice to see them focus, not compromise camera app performance in their mission to add features. I'm not anti-feature. I'm anti-feature if that means my camera app doesn't work when I want to just take a freaking picture.
Yeah, and if we're talking about camera features and Google Quips, have you ever used Photo Booth? I've never used Photo Booth.
No, I've never used 75% of the features in the camera app. I've used Night Sight, and I've used the standard. What else is on here?
It's Night Sight, Portrait, Camera, and Video, which is the primary functions, which are now the primary functions. Photosphere, I have not touched since Galaxy Nexus days. Panorama, sure. Slow motion is fun. I haven't had the opportunity to use timer apps, which Google introduced to the Pixel 3a, sadly.
Yeah.
And for me, is everybody needs to do AI emojis for some reason.
Yeah, for me, I obviously use Night Sight and the regular portrait and the camera and video. I have used Panorama maybe one time this year. I've used Photosphere in never. Mm-hmm. I've used Photo Booth never. I've used Slow Motion never. I've used Time Lapse never. I've used Playground never. I've used Lens close to never, but I don't usually activate it through there. That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, most of the stuff in the app, I don't ever use. And I would guess most people are in that same boat.
Yeah. But people like whimsy. So that's why they keep doing it. It makes great ads. And that's why Google does it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure there are some people who are avid users of some of those features.
The camera.
Yeah, so that's Pixel 4, and that's pretty much everything we know. I mean, other things are to be expected. Tynem's going to be back this year. Users never have any interaction with that. Speakers? Yeah, stereo speakers.
Which will be interesting, since there does not appear to be it won't be front-facing stereo speakers.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an iPhone.
There's two.
iPhone setup. One front-facing and one down-facing.
Yeah.
That's what stereo speakers means. In this case. And then next-gen assistant seems likely. We heard that there will be some very interesting Pixel 4 exclusive assistant features, which would line up with the last couple years, or every year.
Yeah.
We're assuming that's next-gen assistant. That's probably going to be one of the big stage demos on the day of the event. That's pretty much it. I think that's
so what's left. What don't What don't we know?
We don't know the retail prices.
And we don't know the colors.
Don't know the colors. And those two things tend to stay under wraps until the last couple weeks before the event.
Yeah. Colors will probably leak before pricing.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Both of those things will almost certainly leak before the event, but it'll be up close in the weeks going up. I don't know. Anyone have any comments or questions on Pixel 4 we can address real quick? I definitely feel like most things are known. I think 90 hertz, quote unquote, smooth display. I was the one that wrote this story and I don't even know what display. Google's marketing. Smooth display was, I think, the last big blockbuster feature that Google didn't announce yet. And so your move, Google.
The camera, they could always count on the camera, a blog post.
Yeah, software camera features, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, but again, that's what gets the biggest applause usually, when they do something crazy good to the camera in comparison with the iPhone, I don't know.
Yeah, with the competition, for sure. Do you think Google will block solely by software in countries that it's not allowed or literally won't include it in those countries? I would guess that it will be in the hardware.
Yes.
That's pretty much what we see anytime there's kind of regulatory reasons why devices can't have certain features in certain countries. It's usually never, it would cost way too much to make different variants for different countries.
Yeah. I am very curious how much Soli as a component costs. I hope somebody can do a teardown eventually to see the technology inside it.
Mm. Someone asked, what do you find more interesting, the Galaxy Note 10 or the Pixel 4? And I guess we can talk about that now. The Galaxy Note 10 was also announced this week. We've been talking to other people in the industry, and apparently the Note 10 just has not been driving much, I guess, hype on any platform. I've heard from a couple people now, some YouTubers who said their Note 10 videos and content didn't do well, some other blogs and stuff. And we can also attest to this. Art yesterday, out of our top 10 articles for the whole day, only one of them was Note 10 related or even Samsung related. So that tells you anything about how much people are excited about the Note 10, I mean, it's probably not super, super great.
It looks nice.
It does. It's really pretty, and it's definitely an iterative update versus last year and versus every year for the Note since what, the Note 7? Note 7 was Note 7 the one that caught on fire?
I think so.
They've pretty much been the same phone since then. And I don't know. I think it's a cool phone. It's a phone. And I'm not going to own one, probably not going to buy one. And that's not because I think it's bad. I just think it's another Note and it's fine. It's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
It looks pretty. And the screens are always very impressive. I guess my small take was, it would be nice to have a phone where the back is always changing colors depending on the lighting. I do admit the Pixel is quite boring, even if one were to get not pink or white even. But it would be nice to have some differentiation there.
Yeah. When it comes to this Note 10 versus Pixel 4 conversation, I think obviously if you need specs and you need the top of the line features and you need an S Pen and you need, you know, if you need all that stuff, then obviously the Note 10 is for you. But for the Pixel, I mean, I'm more excited for the Pixel 4 than the Note 10 personally. I'm a little bit of a Google fanboy, I guess you could say. And that's, you know, that's definitely a part of it. And I have no shame in admitting that. Another part of it is I just think the Pixel 4 is more interesting. Especially because of this 90 hertz display with the Note, which the Note 10 doesn't have, and the Soli stuff, motion sense, and the face stuff. I think Samsung's behind the curve on face based security, and I think that we're going to see
not for lack of trying.
For sure, there's no reason that Samsung should not be on the forefront of this. But yeah, So the Note 10's behind in certain ways that I care about more probably than the average person. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that little bit.
Android Q.
Android Q beta 4. Beta 6. Yeah, I'm still stuck in like July. I haven't gone on leave yet, Stephen.
Okay.
So beta 6 rolled out.
The final one.
Tell us about it.
It's the final one. It's one more than we had last year. And in terms of the time frame, we know the final release, the Pixel devices, is coming this quarter. Google said within the coming weeks. So I guess sometime in September is the best guess that anybody has, given the quarter guidance, Q3 2019. But yeah, I guess the biggest change is the addition of back gesture sensitivity. This is something we spotted last month in our leaked build of Android Q, and it basically gives you 4 increments between low and high to decide how sensitive you want the back gesture is. So this comes, we saw it today, many people have their hands on, but Google today, they did a bit of a press tour about defending Android Q gesture navigation. And what we actually learned from The Verge is that the back sensitivities for cases is, if you put your phone in the case, sometimes depending on the case, you might want to tweak how sensitive it is. And it's not for the navigation drawer, which most people assumed it was going to be for.
It's also kind of for the high variation between Android devices, hardware-wise, correct?
Yes.
Like, that's one of the things they've highlighted. And honestly, I have to admit, this is one of the things that in my internal criticisms of this whole situation over the last couple months, I have not thought about that fact that Google is trying to build this system in a way that every OEM can take advantage of it. And there's far, far more variation in Android devices than there are, for instance, iPhones. And so they're having to take that into account.
So the second part of this news was that Google explained what the decisions it came to in the blog post just before we went live on the air. And basically, they did a lot of testing. And according to them, this is the best system that they can come up with, best gesture navigation system that they came up with. They do note that 3-button nav is... It's still there. It's staying there. We've known that since I/O, but Google is giving the choice to people that just don't interact well with gesture navigation. One super interesting thing we learned today is how the back button, the back action, I should say rather, in Android is used 50% more than the home button. So people, even when they're deep into apps, I guess what we've learned is that people go use the back button all the time. And this is why Google decided to have back gestures be so prominent, take up both sides of the screen at the cost of navigation drawers. And you have some thoughts on that.
No, I really don't. Actually, I'm intentionally withholding my feelings on this whole situation because as time goes on and more I learn, the more I read and the more I try it out myself, the more I'm realizing that a lot of my thoughts are just really immature, not like immature in the sense that they have not yet matured to the point where I have a really thoughtful opinion or I guess fleshed out opinion. So yeah, I don't, I'm not going to say anything on this show. Maybe next week.
Okay.
But yeah, my gut on this has been and will be, I mean, I guess long story short on where I've come from, where I'm going on my thoughts on this is I think that sometimes there is a merit to what Google's doing, which is what, I mean, obviously the A/B testing company of the whole world.
Yes.
And really measuring the practicality, measuring the usefulness of features and As we saw in today's blog post, they're really trying to justify their changes with real data. They're saying, hey, like, this is actually the best because the data says so. And that's just so Google. That's just the most Google thing that you could ever do.
Yes. And
that's fine.
There are limits to that. Yes, it's fine. There's it's good to know this evidence, but I think everybody can agree there's limits to instinctually knowing what's right for users. But yeah, that can be a bigger discussion for another
day. I'm of the opinion that this, the direction they're going, and that direction just happening to be very similar to what Apple did with iOS. What was it? 11? I don't remember when they added whatever, iPhone 10. It just so happens to be very similar to that. I think that direction is the right direction.
Yes.
I just don't love the way they're going about getting there. And I have not loved the way they're going about getting there ever since they first dropped Android. Was it Android Pi Beta 1 with the pill? The first time the pill showed up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Here we go.
I'm a pill defender, but that's
I'm not super anti pill. I'm just I'm anti the way Google has gone about moving to this fully gesture based system. They spread out this change over 2 whole years, and this should have been something where they worked on it with their partners in the background, came to really conclusive and clear decisions, and then decided to roll it out and said, okay, developers, this is what we're doing, and you just need to deal with it. Instead, we have a situation where Pixel 2, Pixel 3, and Pixel 4 buyers will all be buying a phone on day one with completely different interaction schemas. Completely different. We have 3 generations of Google Phone with completely different UX out of the box. And that is absurd and unacceptable, in my opinion. It's confusing for people. It's the Pixel team shooting themselves in the foot. It is not fun to have to navigate explaining it to family members for people like us. You know, it's just not good in so many ways. Not to mention just kind of the
polish.
The idealistic purist kind of mindset that companies should just announce a feature and it should just be good.
Yeah.
And it should just be thought through, and it should be a full thought. It's like if Google released a Pixel phone that didn't have a screen and they needed to do A/B testing to find out that users wanted a screen. It's an extreme metaphor, but that's kind of how it feels to me. They released Gesture Nav a long time ago, and they weren't even halfway there. And then they released it to the public and put it on their premium $800 flagship phone. And then they're going to do it again this year. And so, sorry, I'm off my soapbox. That's my feelings on it. And I'm not yet to an opinion on how this current form of everything is and how it feels and how it works. That is TBD. But those are my feelings on the big picture. And I'm frustrated with Google for it. And I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah. So I guess the other most interesting stat today was that 3 to 7% of users swipe to access the navigation drawer. Everybody, a good 93%, a clear majority, just tap on the button, which I think that does speak to the bubble that people, that the more technically savvy people are in, thinking that a swipe on the edge is such a common, something that everybody uses.
Yep, the 7% that do that is all the people around us on social media.
Yes.
It's crazy. That data point. And I mean, I'm already the kind of person that's hyper aware of kind of the bubble that we're in. And I always try to remind myself of that every time I'm writing or thinking anything about what we talk about every day. But that, I mean, even for me, that data point was surprising. 93% literally never open the the hamburger menu, app drawer, whatever you want to call it, swiping in from the left. And to me, that's fully justified. And Google saying, yeah, we're just going to kill that. And if they do, and they just say, this is not a supported interaction design recommendation for material design at all anymore, which seems like the direction they're going, I'm fully on board if that statistic is true, because the 7% that have a habit of doing that and have been doing that for 10 years, they'll get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow.
Basically, the gist of Android Q Beta 6. Yeah, it was... there was some more polish, but at the end of the day, it's a more quiet beta, and it is interesting that Google went for one more beta this year. I still think that's an interesting point, but yeah, Android Q, almost there.
Some more interesting things. We're almost out of time for today, but I do want to mention, R. Kyle did an amazing job discovering this week that there is supposedly new Google Wi-Fi hardware on the way. You can read his full post on that. We'll put the link in the description for this show over at 95google.com. You can find that link in the description. But he pieced together a lot of pretty solid evidence that new Google Wi-Fi hardware is coming, and it might be coming this fall. So we're starting to piece together a little bit of what to expect at this year's made by Google event. And it's crazy that it's already that time of the year again.
Yes.
Feels like it was just yesterday we were having this conversation about last year's event. But so far, what do we know? We know Pixel 4 for sure, 4 and 4 XL. It seems pretty likely Google Wi-Fi is coming. It seems pretty likely that Atlas is Google's, and it seems pretty likely that that's coming this year. Mm-hmm. I would say, based on evidence we've seen so far. And I would also say, based on evidence that Kyle's dug up in the Fuchsia source code, and also evidence that we've seen from... Nick A and I guess just gut instinct, I think it's pretty likely that we'll see a new generation, second generation standalone Google Home this year. So that's pretty much what our bullet point list is for made by Google this year. Four items on it so far. Some may be removed at some point, and some may be added. Mm. Any other changes to that you'd make?
The watch, I guess.
The watch.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen this year. And I say that because I think it sucks.
Yeah.
And I think Google knows it sucks.
Yes. Or they should know that it sucks. We should really emphasize that.
And it's unfortunate that we can say that without even knowing anything about it.
Yes.
But we can. We can pretty confidently say that
because
the Pixel Watch
has fundamentally changed in the Wear OS ecosystem.
Nope.
To even give this the possibility that it's going to be good, that it's going to be fast, and it's not going to be old.
A lot of things would have to change, and they're knowns. Qualcomm would have to have a really, really good processor out and ready, or soon to be ready, which is not the case. Google would have to be developing or already having developed its own silicone for the Pixel Watch, which we're pretty confident is not the case. Google has actually been losing some of its engineers that contributed to the Pixel Visual Core and other silicon that they've built. Mm. So it looks like, if anything, Google is slipping in that area, unfortunately. We have another known is the state of Wear OS, which is rough, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
So there's lots of variables that we already for sure know about that tell us that even if there is a Pixel Watch that's coming this year, it's not good. And there's the dog.
And there's the dog. And if it's not good, don't release it, even if you have it. If you think you did a great thing by not releasing it last year, which definitely seems to be the case, maybe wait another year.
Fingers crossed for that fitness band this year.
Yes, the fitness band, which would be a purely health thing and make a lot of sense because you don't have to interact with it and you just use an app to use it.
Indeed. Anyways, I think that I would rather just wrap up the show now than try and ramble on for the next 10 minutes. We've gotten that feedback from people a lot that the last like 10, 15 minutes of the show every week tends to get really slow and boring. And I think we can see that in the data for the average watch time for the show on YouTube and elsewhere.
Yes. People like big topics.
People like the topics and they like to like them hit quick and they don't like any wasted time. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Thanks for, you know, tuning in on YouTube, and for those of you that listen on all of the podcasting apps and platforms like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, Google Play. We're pretty much available everywhere. We're trying to get better about being reliable on when we upload those episodes. We're super sorry about that, and we will be hopefully fixing that in the coming weeks. Thank you so much for your patience on that. Let us know how this show went. We're on Jitsi.org instead of Hangouts on Air. And it seems like on our end, it went well. We'll know after I get the podcast upload and we check out the archive on YouTube how it really went. But let us know if you have any feedback on that. Also, go over to Twitter and follow us at twitter.com/ABC Scoop. You can follow us there for notifications when we're starting the show, because it's been pretty random when we have the show lately. It's been Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. And we're hopefully going to get back into a schedule now that I'm back from my little sabbatical, finished university up, got my degree. And yeah, we'll hopefully get onto a schedule, and it's a little bit of regularity. Thank you so much for listening. Go follow that Twitter account and follow us on Twitter too. Twitter's Abner's at Technacity, and I'm at Hall Stephen J. And stay tuned for the coming weeks. We'll most likely have some more Pixel 4 and Google Home 2 and Pixelbook 2 and other exclusive, hopefully, information to share with you. So thanks for tuning in as always, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.